Tom and Esther were sitting in an upstairs room of a decrepit warehouse overlooking the river. Since abandoning St. Clement's Catholic School for waifs and strays in favour of life on the streets, it was the closest thing they had to a home. They had found the place when on the run from a stall owner at Rotherhithe Market. The warehouse was in such a sorry state that there was no staircase inside, but Tom, the better climber of the two, had found a way up and round the outside to the room upstairs. It was a dangerous climb. One slip and they would end up in the Thames. But the difficulty made it a safer place to spend their nights. The warehouse was the orphans' current favourite hide spot, but they knew it wouldn't last for long. Sooner or later they would be discovered, or someone would come to knock down the building. It had happened before, and it was only a matter of time before it happened again. Esther had even come up with the idea of lighting a fire on the north bank of the river as a signal if one of them needed to warn the other that it was time to get out. Then they would move on to some other forgotten corner of London. There were always more places to hide. Esther emptied her pockets of the day's takings onto her mattress. There wasn't much, and they were all objects that would need to be sold on. She sat down and looked out at the fast-flowing river.
"If we don't work for him, he'll have us sent down," she said.
"London ain't exactly a village," said Tom. "All we have to do is avoid being seen by him again. Ain't so difficult. It's not like we work that part of town much anyhow. I told you it was risky over there. Did you see how quickly that copper appeared?"
"So we stay away from Piccadilly now too, do we?" said Esther. "We'll be avoiding half of the city at this rate. What if this Ringmore job means a chance to stop thieving?
You really want to run messages for that old toff?"
"Why not?
Who knows what else he'll have us doing? He looks like the sort that's wrong in the head, if you ask me. What if he locks us in a cage and murders us?"
Esther sighed.
"He's moneyed, and he's offering us honest work."
"How do you know it's honest?" asked Tom.
"I mean, who in their right mind would want us working for them?"
Esther laughed in spite of herself.
"I agree that this ain't what we're used to. But what we're used to ain't exactly tea at the palace. All I'm saying is, who cares what he's up to so long as we stand to gain from it?"
"What we gaining?"
demanded Tom, picking up a piece of rubble from the floor and hurling it out of the broken window into the Thames.
"A couple of coins that we could make in an afternoon. You should have been quicker emptying his pockets. I did my part well enough."
Esther stood up angrily.
"I was quick. It's more likely he saw through your act. He certainly didn't fall for that poor dying Ma business, that's for sure."
"We'll go back and see him tomorrow, as we said," said Esther. "We'll do this work for him. Maybe something will come of it. Maybe not. But there's no harm in trying."
"I'd rather throw my lot in with Hardy than deliver messages for him," said Tom sulkily.
"We agreed we ain't never working for Hardy," said Esther.
"Come on, Est," said Tom, sitting back down. "You know the way things are going. We can't keep running and hiding from him."
"What you saying, Tom?"
"I'm saying maybe Hardy ain't so bad. The others seem to be getting on all right. Maybe we should do a deal."
"No."
"You know how I feel about him," said Esther. "I'd rather die than work for that rogue."
"That might be the choice we've got."
"Please, Tom, give this a chance. Perhaps Hardy will lay off us if he sees we've got a job. A real job, I mean. Working for a gentleman like Ringmore."
Tom pulled a bruised apple from his pocket. "Perhaps," he said. He sunk his teeth into the apple.
"I don't think we can carry on like this forever," said Esther.
"Who cares about forever?" asked Tom. "It's what we do now that matters."
"And I say that we try this out now. At least we'll get some new clothes out of it."
"New clothes don't matter if you're murdered and locked in a cage," said Tom.
"Being locked in a cage don't matter if you're murdered."
Tom laughed.
"All right, but don't say I didn't warn you."